Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 13. Nature and joy and consciousness. Text number 27. 6.
Anye tve vama jananta shutyanye vyakupasate te pi chati tarantyeva ritum shuti parayana.
Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person on hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society, because in modern society, there's practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic, agnostic, or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave a great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially according to Lord Chaitanya. If he hears a transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya said that in this age, no one needs to change his position. One should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become a servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will gradually be elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse, particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended. And this is very important. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend the material existence, go back to Godhead, back to home.
Anye tve vama jananta shuti anye vyakupasate tepi chati trantyeva mrityum shuti prayana.
Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Desitarne.
Here it stresses the importance of hearing, if you didn't bother hearing the purport. That in its present age, which is Kali Yuga, it is said that the only possibility of making any substantial spiritual progress is to chant Hare Krishna. But in order to learn how to chant Hare Krishna, we have to hear how to chant Hare Krishna. Just like if one hears mechanically or chants mechanically, like a parrot. We heard someone had a parrot here, right? You had a parrot. Someone else had a parrot. You have a parrot already. Someone else said they had a parrot. Maybe it was somewhere else. Anyhow, you can get a parrot to chant Hare Krishna, Hare, or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And all day long, they'll chant Hare Krishna, even more rounds than we can chant. So that doesn't mean that this parrot is an incarnation of Haridas Thakur, because it's chanting 24 hours a day. Pali wants a Krishna. Because it's mechanical. If it's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then you grab its throat, it won't chant under stress. On the other hand, we're trying to learn how to chant Hare Krishna. If we think we already know how to chant Hare Krishna, then we might be mistaken, unless you're situated on the spiritual platform in your spiritual form. But for most of us, it's probably safe to say most of us are not situated on the spiritual platform, engaged in our spiritual form, serving Krishna 24 hours a day. Therefore, we have to learn how to chant Hare Krishna. And to chant Hare Krishna properly, now we have to use this body and our mind and our words in such a way as to purify ourselves. So basically speaking, at the beginning, we're learning how to become purified. Those who want to spend their time hearing about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world, they can do that. Of course, they won't make any real progress, but they'll be entertained hearing these nice stories. But in order to make genuine progress, we have to learn how to give up, first of all, the tendency to try to exploit the material energy. If we think we're not trying to exploit the material energy, that then we're cheating ourselves, at least, if not other people. We think, whatever I do, because I'm a devotee, it's not exploiting the material energy, because I'm so pure. And even I, just like sometimes the devotees, they think, even I lie and cheat and steal, or whatever I do, it's all because I'm a devotee, everyone gets benefited. I think the devotees, especially at the beginning, had that tendency. Just like one devotee, she went into one of these Pure One stores. I don't know if they exist anymore. And she saw these little forms in this barrel. And she, with her, I forget what they call it, but anyhow, she decided to have this Doris donate these little dolls to her. Because she's a devotee, and the store, people should donate to a devotee, but the store, people who work in the store are in ignorance, so they don't realize that. So in order to help them with a gyata sukriti, she took these little dolls. She didn't have any idea what they were. And then she came back to the San Francisco temple and she showed Prabhupada, she asked Prabhupada, what is this little doll? And she took out this little black doll, two hands, like this doll. And Prabhupada immediately paid his obeisances and said, that's Lord Jagannath. And said, are there any more? And she said, there's a whole barrel full of them. So, of course, the devotees this time, they went to the store and they didn't clear it out with a five-finger, I forget what they call it, five-finger checkout, five-finger discount. Some of them might have paid for it. But some things like we think like that, that the whole world actually belongs to Krishna and I'm Krishna's devotee and therefore the whole world is indirectly my property because I'm his son. Therefore, whatever I do is divine. But that may be true sometimes for some people on a very elevated platform, but we may get caught up in that. We can lie and steal and cheat and it's all spiritual. How do you get in? Therefore, we have to modify our activities in such a way is that we can actually come to the spiritual platform. Give up this tendency to try to do things independently from Krishna. even when we may be doing things very nicely, in other words, even in the mode of goodness. Oh, I see. Someone opened the door and he came back in. Oh, he crawled up? Yeah, he snuck in. He knows there's going to be prasadam. Even we do things very nicely, but if we're not doing them to please Krishna, then we're simply doing them nicely for whatever reason. People have been doing things nicely in the material world since time immemorial, but and they're still here trying to do things nicely. Therefore, we have to hear that factually everything belongs to Krishna. We can't hear that enough because we don't forget it. We forget it too much. Everything is Krishna's property, and even more, well, either enlivening or disturbing to us, depends what our mood is that everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. There's nothing here meant for our pleasure. Although we came here thinking we're going to have a good time, but there was nothing here to have a good time with. It was all meant for Krishna having a good time. But right now, neither Krishna nor ourselves are having a very good time around here. Therefore, we should hear extensively how everything belongs to Krishna and how everything is meant to be utilized to please Krishna. Then we'll find out only in that way can we do any benefit for ourselves, and only by explaining that to others can we benefit anyone else. We may imagine I'm the father, or I'm the mother, or I'm the spiritual master, I'm the well-wisher, I'm this and that, but actually we're simply best we can be as instruments of Krishna. Gurur na sasyat, pita na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, namochyat yak samupeti mrityum. That one should not become a father or a mother or a worshipful demigod or anything, or a guru, unless one is willing to be an instrument for Krishna and tell people about Krishna, explain to them their relation with Krishna. We may think people have a relationship with us, but people who have a relation with us, any one of us, it's not going to do them any good. People have relationships since time immemorial with so many people, and they still are around here trying to have relationships with so many people, getting nowhere. Only if people have a relation with Krishna can they actually get anywhere. Even in the spiritual world, it's not that people have relationships with each other and they go off and they forget Krishna. No, everything is Krishna-centered. Mother Jasoda, she's working for Krishna. Nanda Maharaj, he's working for Krishna. All the cows are producing milk for Krishna. Everyone's doing everything for Krishna. It's not like they're told that there are a lot of people around here who used to be here. They didn't do it for Krishna. So you better watch out. Big signs. Work for Krishna. Well, do you remember so-and-so cowherd boy? No, what happened? Oh. Decided he wasn't going to work for Krishna. We haven't seen him for a long time. I think he got in one of those planes meant for people who didn't want to do things for Krishna. No, everyone voluntarily, ecstatically does things for Krishna in the spiritual world because Krishna is so attractive. They don't even have to think about it. There is no educational system to convince people that you must work for Krishna. You don't have, there's no books you take out of the library, you know, how to serve Krishna. In case history is the people who didn't serve Krishna. Everything there is done naturally and spontaneously. But here it's just the opposite. Here everyone came here because they didn't want to serve Krishna. And although it seems rather artificial, for now, because we're so much attached to doing everything but serving Krishna. Therefore, we have to constantly hear about that, that there is a Krishna. Because we're under the influence of the illusory energy, at every moment she's trying to convince us that there is no Krishna. And if there is a Krishna, it wouldn't make any difference, because who cares? He's in the spiritual world. Let him be wherever he is. And we're here. And maybe we'll become a little bit like Krishna. Or maybe we'll even become Krishna. Who knows? Practice makes better. So we have to become convinced that there is a Krishna. And Krishna is so great that there is no possibility of any of us competing with him. And he's in our heart. He won't let go. He's right in our heart. And he's the only thing, ultimately, he's right in the middle of our heart. We can't get rid of him. We can fast. We can curse him. We can order him to leave. We can do so many things. But he's not going to go. He's stuck right in the middle of our heart. And he's been there forever, practically speaking. All we can do is either recognize him or forget him. We can deny him, but that doesn't mean he's going to go away. Therefore, it's in our interest, if we want to get out of our perplexity, to recognize him, that he's in our heart, he's unlimitedly powerful and beautiful and wealthy and intelligent, supreme person. And all we can do is either have a relationship with him directly, or have a relationship with him indirectly. But ultimately, we're completely dependent on him. No matter how much we think ourselves to be independent, he's in our heart. He's sensing our every desire, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So he knows exactly what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what we're desiring. And he's arranging everything just to suit our what we deserve and what we desire. And there's nothing we can do to surpass that. We're 100% 24/7 dependent on him. And not just now, it's not like in the next life, Brahma, he may not appear, Krishna, may not come with us, he may want to take a vacation. Thinking, oh, this is too much, you know, these people never learn. I'm just going to leave them alone for a while. No, nothing can happen in this material world unless Krishna desires it. Ultimately, everything is 100% dependent upon Krishna. But he's giving us our free will to play around material energy any way we want. So we hear how the best way to live in this material world, and we gradually accept a little bit of it at a time, because we're not capable of hearing with rapt attention, understanding things perfectly. But if we make some effort, then gradually we'll make a little progress, and then one day we'll become Krishna conscious. Then we'll realize what a valuable gift it is that Krishna and Prabhupada and his representatives are giving us. But right now we think, well, it's nice, the prasadam's good, sometimes the chanting is pretty good too, and maybe other things that are good. And even once in a while there's something, they say something which makes some sense in the philosophy. But in any case, whatever we may think, because we're half crazy, or fully crazy, depending on how you look at it. In any case, if we simply stick with it, try to chant Hare Krishna, take some prasadam, try to understand how to perform devotional service, try to get out of our illusory consciousness, then gradually we'll make some progress and our lives will actually get better, spiritually at least. We can't expect that in this material world, anyone's life is gradually going to get better materially. Material world, especially in Kali Yuga, is meant to put everyone to difficulty. And if that difficulty helps us become more serious about Krishna consciousness, it's good. But if we think, I'm a devotee, how could I be put into difficulty? Why doesn't Krishna not like me? I did so much service for him. I was supposed to, he says, he protects me from my sinful reactions. That's why I joined the movement. I'm getting so many sinful reactions. Where is the protection? Just like there was one kind of like life member, a friend of Krishna. He was selling drugs in Laguna Beach. So he thought, I'm doing a big business selling drugs. He's actually selling thousands and hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of drugs. So it's dangerous. I should get a good, some protection. So he decided he'd give part of the profit to Krishna and make him a partner. He figured that, well, if Krishna's a partner and he's God, then he's a good protection racket. He's certainly going to protect me. Otherwise, he's going to get implicated. Unfortunately for him, he's wrong. Krishna didn't need his money. And so therefore, he got arrested. He had, I think, a kilo of heroin in his car or something. He got arrested. And of course, I don't know if he explained that Krishna was his partner. But he was certainly disappointed. His partner let him down. I was told that the person who shot Mahatma Gandhi, he was a palmist, actually. And he believed, he looked at his palm, and according to his palm, he was going to live so many years. But he got arrested anyhow, even after shooting Gandhi. It's funny. Because the day before, Gandhi was giving a lecture in the same place. He climbed up on a fence, the person who shot Gandhi, Godse, or something, and he took his gun and tried to shoot him. But his gun went off and knocked him off the fence, and he fell down. So the police came. They found him on the ground, and they helped him up because they thought he had fallen off the fence. And he came back the next day and shot Gandhi. That's India for you. People, they try hard, and they think, well, they can get away with it. But anyhow, he thought that I was going to get away with it because, according to my palm, I was going to live so many years. And even when he was on the gallows, he was about to be hung, he kept on looking at his palm, trying to figure it out. What went wrong? Supposed to live so long. There was one king, as I think I've told the story before, he wanted to find out who was a good astrologer. So he called each of the astrologers, he had many astrologers in his kingdom, so he called each one of them at a time and asked them, how long do you have to live? So they all did their calculation. One person said 25 years. The first one, he said, you're wrong. He took him outside and he had him hung. So the next one said, I think I have around 24, 35 years. He said, you're wrong. He took him outside and hung him. This way, gradually, the astrologers decreased in his kingdom. Finally, one astrologer, he asked him, how long do you have left to live? And he looked at his astrological chart and he said, well, I think I better ask the king. He said, oh, you're a good astrologer. So we may have so many ideas about what's going on in this world. We may even go to our astrologer, whatever else. But unless we depend upon Krishna, then everything's a failure. We may have some auspicious circumstances. We may have some inauspicious circumstances. But ultimately, the important thing is whether or not we recognize that whatever our circumstances are, we should do something to serve Krishna. Jatayu, he fought against Ravana, and he lost. And when he was dying, it's not that Lord Ramachandra came up to him and said, on my team, no one loses. What did you do? How can you embarrass me like this, Jatayu? No, Lord Ramachandra honored Jatayu as much as he honored Hanuman, who won the battle of against Ravana. So whether we win or lose, whatever, if we do it for Krishna, then we actually won. And if we win or lose and we don't do it for Krishna, we've definitely lost. So here it says we should hear, and if we accept Krishna's existence, that we should do something for Krishna, then we surpass all the philosophies, all the, or as it says, some people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical. But if we simply accept Krishna and do something to please him, then we've surpassed all the people of the world and we've come to the highest conclusion. So we should hear about that, become convinced to do something for Krishna, then our life, in terms of Krishna consciousness, will become successful. It's not that I decided to serve Krishna, I did a little service, and I was walking down the street, my usual house, so it turned into a house like Subhadama Vipra. All the heavenly demigods came out, who were my servants, and my wife came out, she looked like the goddess of fortune. I walked into my house, it was all made of, all the furniture was made out of ivory. I mean, it was really worthwhile offering that chip rice to Krishna. I think I should recommend this to my friends. Or maybe I should sell some of the same chip rice, make a profit. It's going to be expensive maintaining this house. No, we shouldn't expect by doing a little service like Sudama Vipra did, and suddenly my whole life, my whole environment will turn into Vaikuntha. It may, but it's not likely. But if we do some service, and gradually our relation with Krishna will improve. And then one day we may actually become aware of Krishna and revive our loving awareness of him, our loving feelings towards him. And that will be our success in life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Can I just talk about how special, but there's no case studies of people who...
Not that I know of. I mean, yeah. It's been a long time since I've been there.
Wouldn't it be nice if there was something like that, if you thought of enjoying support from Krishna, you could refer and see something work out. So.
I don't think it's not necessary in the spiritual world. It doesn't work like that.
This should be a good chance.
No. Well, at least at the time of Bhagavad Gita, which is 5,000 years ago, according to Krishna, never... Anyone who went back to the spiritual world never came back. Maybe some came back in the last 5,000 years, but that I don't know. At least until at the time of the last speaking of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, since time immemorial, since the living entities came to the material world, anyone who went back to the spiritual world never had to come back again, never came back again. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granta Raj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Oh, we have a question back there.
How can we truly make sure that we're actually serving Krishna, our spiritual master? How can we actually check some balances and make sure we're doing everything properly?
Everything properly. I don't know. I mean, we have to remember at every moment Krishna's instructions, like Arjuna did. And Krishna will help us do that. But I don't think we should be so ambitious to think that right now we're going to do 24 hours a day, everything perfectly. We should do something perfectly. And then get used to doing things perfectly for Krishna. So we should, at least our sadhana, we should try to improve that. And if we try to improve our sadhana, then other things will improve also in our daily lives. Improve our sadhana and try to help the preaching. And if we do that as much as possible, then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to improve, how to make progress. Anything else? Okay, again, thank you very much. Granta Raj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. I heard they're going to offer you a leaf or a fruit or a piece of flower. But it's with devotion.